Hey, Rockies fans, welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. New girl here. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning of the show, but we persevered because Patrick and Kevin are just the best pros. So we're jumping into the middle of the show, but don't worry, you didn't miss a thing. All right, here we go.
The other, you know, comments, or rather some of the takes that people have about the comments that Dick Monfort made have to do with, maybe placing the fan experience over winning ball games. It is an interesting conversation. I don't know if it's one that we need to have in this instance, but I can, you know, championships maybe isn't the only thing that matters. It's very much one of the most important things that matter. Avoiding scandals is also important. Sure. You want to win a championship without having the scandal, which I think a lot of teams end up doing. But it is strange to think that we are somehow not, we are not looking at the winning percentage of a team as being indicative of how good an owner has been to either their franchise or the fan base.
Well, you know, think back to 2018. Think back to that run right there at the very end in September, those critical homestands, and the way the fans turned out to make sure the Rocks got into the postseason.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the energy that was in Coors Field, you know, it's hard to even describe it because it's an energy that really hasn't been there since. And dare I say, going back to what we talked about earlier, maybe the only other energy has been when Nolan came back to town, you know? And so true. I think that we've really got to look at, is winning and a fan experience two different things? I don't think it is. I think that you provide a good product on the field, you provide a winning team, people are going to come. But you also have to balance that knowing that Denver and Coors Field is a destination spot. It is something that we draw a lot of fans into this city from other markets, you know, whether they're transplants or whether it's people who are coming here for vacation and want to watch their team play. I know a lot of my friends have said, hey, I'm coming to Denver. The Dodgers are coming. You know, I'm going to be there. You know, and they're from L.A., but this is part of their vacation, is getting up in the mountains but seeing the Dodgers play at Coors.
Yeah, it's a destination spot for sure. Yeah, you can have both of those things. And to your point, they come here to Coors Field because it's great, not necessarily because of a fan experience. It's just, it happens to be this baseball cathedral.
Right.
That it's, you know, we were talking before, and I almost likened it to, you know, is Coors Field just like an MLB amusement park, or is it the home of the Colorado Rockies? And it can be both of those things. I think there's a lot of ballparks that are both of those things where you just want to go have a good time and you're going to see a really good product on the field and you know the team is going to win. You can have both of those things. And so to really only focus on the latter of affordable ticket prices, it's nice, but I mean, what are we talking about? It's winning.
It is.
It's winning.
It is winning, you know, and I think I love to know Avs, Nuggets, you know, and Broncos back in the day even. You know, people would pay whatever to be a part of that environment. You look back at some of the Stanley Cup prices last year, you know, people will pay to be a part of it. Is it for everybody? Absolutely not. But still, I even think back to, you know, I'm not the biggest hockey fan in the world, but we were watching the Stanley Cup last year because that was our local team. People get drawn in by winning. And so I think that when the bamboo grows and if the plan actually goes according and that winning spirit, energy, whatever you want to call it, gets back into Coors, it's going to be a completely different fan experience than it is right now.
Yeah, that spirit, that vibe is happening right now at the DNVR bar. And I know you know that.
I do know
you were
that.
Here last Tuesday for our wonderful watch party.
Absolutely.
We've got those going down all the time. All of our diehards, of course. You know, you get 15% off your tab on food and drink when you're here at the DNVR bar. You get 20% off all the gear at dnvrlocker.com, as well as any of the party bus situations we got going on. Tailgates, 20% off that on dnvrlocker.com. Make sure you check that out. And access to the diehards only Discord, where we can say pretty much just about anything we want and not held accountable. That's nice. And we've got a pro wrestling area too.
What?
So it's fun.
What?
Yes. The Royal Rumble was a buzz. There was a good chat in that. Well, I'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because the Sami Zayn,
Roman Reigns, the bloodline
story was chef's kiss.
Very well played. Yes, Breck Brew plays it well all the time. In fact, they're doing something right now, this game day experience where they want to hook you up with some fantastic merch and some fantastic tickets to a game Thursday, March 9th against the LA Kings. The Avs giveaway is going down. You get two tickets, includes Lexus Club access, parking pass, as well as DNVR gear. There's also a Nuggets giveaway too. That's for the March 30th game against the New Orleans Pelicans. Two tickets, courtside, row two, folks. Seriously, Pelicans, nice. Nuggets. That's huge. What a great giveaway. Also includes access to the Lexus Club parking pass and DNVR gear. Here's how you enter. Head to thednvr.com/BreckSweeps. I'll say that again so you can write that down. Or just go to it right now on your computer. thednvr.com/BreckSweeps. Great sweepstakes. Must be 21 or older. Link in the show description. Winners will be selected 1 week before each game. So make sure you get in on that Avs one immediately. That's March 9th. And make sure you get on the NFL action. Super Bowl 57 is here. It's right around the corner. Only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs. Thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers. You know you can bet just $5 on any bet. Coin toss. Are you a coin toss guy?
I'm a coin toss guy. Props bets are fun. Absolutely. National anthem always.
National anthem length is another good one. I like that more than the coin toss because I feel like, you know, it's heads or tails. That's it. There's no thinking about it. Whereas the national anthem, you're like, all right, let me go back and let me watch some live performances of this person.
The prep for it is fantastic.
There's some prep. There's some analysis that goes into that. I don't think I need to make up a spreadsheet, but I will say you can kind of feel out that kind of a prop bet. And with that $5 bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, turn into $200 in free bets instantly. They got the stepped up same game parlay. So you add a bunch of things and you can boost your winnings up to 100%. It's fantastic. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR because new customers, you make a $5 bet on Super Bowl 57. And when it hits, boom, $200 in free bets instantly only on DraftKings Sportsbook and only with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Now, I know you... Also, in addition to, you know, writing for Fansided, covering the national game there in MLB, you also write for Rocky's blog.
Yeah.
Don't care for the blog part, because these are great articles that you and Jack Ed can write.
They're kind of long form, which I love. Now, Jack's more than mine, for sure. But I love getting on the Rockies.com site to check out the blog that's on there. And it's been great. Connor Siebold, Brent Suter, two guys that I really enjoy getting to know.
I wanted to ask you specifically about those guys. So Connor Siebold is the latest addition. Got on the horn with him like right away.
Yeah.
Talked to him. Learned he's a closet Coloradan.
He is. You know, and from some time down in Castle Rock, actually, he's pitched at Coors Field whenever he was in high school.
Wow!
Really a cool thing. But a guy who tells me he loves beer and he loves hiking. I'm like, well, you're going to love the state then. I'm just telling you, you are going to blend in. But, you know, a native California guy, he was so excited to be coming back. You know, he's been in the Philadelphia organization. He's been in the Boston organization. This is the closest he's ever been to home pitching here in Colorado. And that's another thing he's really excited about.
So he's a local guy because he used to live here. And because he's from California, that also makes him local. He's doubly local.
He's doubly local.
Right?
Exactly.
He's nearby. Yeah, I see him becoming good friends with Lucas Gilbreth right away.
I can see
like
that.
Like those guys. Like that will be a friendship that blossoms.
Yeah, and I think Siebold's going to be a guy, and he even said it in the interview, he could well start the year at AAA. It would not surprise me at all. But I think that he's a guy that he's all right with that. He's a guy who's going to be okay being whatever the Rockies need him to be. And when the time's right, I think he'll be a guy that comes up and contributes.
I wanted to ask you about that because the fifth spot in the rotation, and you could very well say the fourth spot in the rotation too, with Antonio Sensatella likely to start the year on the IL. I mean, not even likely. I mean, we can bet that on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah,
I think we can feel pretty confident
that's
a safe
on that. One, I think.
It's not going to have a big payout, but as he recovers from ACL surgery. So you've got Marquez and Freeland at the top. Jose Urania there is your number three. So it's really four and five. Feltner, still not a proven commodity. Gomber, still not a proven commodity. Right. And then after that, you've got a slew of guys. And Connor Siebold could be there, especially if an injury happens to one of those five guys I just named. You could potentially see him start the year in the rotation. Maybe not because he blew the doors off, you know, and earned that spot. But he does have some potential. We could even see him at some point during the year if something happens with a trade of a Jose Urania, who's another one of those guys with 1 year left.
Yeah, you know, every team needs pitching depth, and I think the Rockies last year were so thin whenever it came to starting pitching depth. Yep. And so I think Siebold coming on is really a smart move, at least to build that depth. And you're right, he's probably not going to blow anybody's doors off. He had his moments with the Red Sox last year, but overall as a whole, it wasn't good. And he'll admit that to you.
Yeah.
But he's also a guy that we talked a lot about soft contact and how that killed him last year. And he's already in his mind thinking, how do I keep the soft contact from happening, especially in a big place like Coors?
Yeah, Brent Suter is another one of those interesting acquisitions where at first, I don't know if it was the question that was asked to Buddy at the winter meetings when we were there, or if he kind of tossed it out there like, oh, he could start. And it's like, he could, but he's not going
to.
No,
absolutely
He's definitely not. I don't think you would want that. He's going to be a very valuable lefty in the pen. And if Gilbert can stay healthy or is healthy to start the year, I mean, that's a fantastic way to kind of mix and match and not just use, you know, Gilbert in a big spot. You can take down some of the big left-handed bats that are already in the NL West. I'm really excited to see Brent Suter. Have you figured out why the Brewers cut bait on him? He wasn't making a lot in arbitration.
He really wasn't. And to be honest, it was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, he admitted that. So yeah. It was a little bit of a surprise that all of a sudden his time in Milwaukee was over. And I think that the lot, you know, reading some of the comments from the Brewers fans whenever we put that up, I think they were a little surprised by that as well. And he was a guy that was very well-liked in the clubhouse, well-liked by the fans, you know, has his Raptor nickname that he loves. So get ready for some Jurassic Park stuff to happen this year.
Are we going to have the Jurassic theme? Is he going to use it?
He's already tipped the hand.
Oh,
he's already tipped the hand,
yes.
So he can expect a little Jurassic Park theme.
That's great.
When he's coming out of the bullpen, at least so he says. And I think that it's really going to be interesting because obviously this is a bullpen without Kinley to start the year, without Estevez. So I think Suter is really going to be a guy they're going to look at late inning, high leverage. He's going to come in. And again, being that MLB veteran that we know Buddy loves so much, I think he's going to be a really key factor to how strong that setup is for Bard next year.
Yeah, he's going to be very important for that for sure. He's a guy who went to Harvard.
Okay.
I'm used to talking about Hartford all the time with Susie. Harvard. When you talk to someone from Harvard, I guess we all have. Like how do you know if someone went to Harvard? When you talk to Brent Suter, you're like, oh yeah, no, he went to Harvard. Or is it? Can you not tell?
I'm not sure if you knew. Did you know Jeff Breidich went to Harvard? I'm not sure if you ever heard that.
I heard he was a brain surgeon is what I heard. Or no, wait, I'm the brain surgeon. I forget.
One of those. But no, I mean, really a good guy. You know, and that was what I took from both those conversations is that those are guys that aren't only just seem like quality humans, but they're also guys that are also excited to start over, get a fresh start here in Colorado, see what they can do. They're both also guys that really were excited about finally having a pitcher as a manager and what that was going to be like. Yeah, because I will tell you, Suter had nothing but praise for Craig Counsell and everything that he did. But he's also like, it's going to be nice to be able to pick the brain of a guy who's been on the mound too.
That's curious. Yeah, I don't know how many managers right now in MLB are former pitchers. I mean, I can't think of any other than Bud Black off the top of my head, but...
Yeah,
that's kind of curious to think about.
It is, and pitchers love that. You know, I mean, we've talked to Freeland about it, I've talked to Marquez about it, and they both say it's great to have that wealth of knowledge that Buddy brings. And so I think Suter, Siebold, these guys are coming in from outside organizations. That's one of the first things they think about.
So he went to high school at Archbishop Moeller High in Cincinnati. That high school has produced 30 seasons of All-Star selections.
Whoa.
Two Hall of Famers. And three All-Stars. Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Larkin did a lot of that heavy lifting there.
That's pretty good, yeah.
I think, 15 All-Star games for Griffey Jr., 10 for Barry Larkin, and then 5 for former Rockies manager Buddy Bell. How about that? That's pretty neat. Reds manager David Bell also went to school there, naturally. And then another Rockies left-handed legend, Philip Deal. So
the real deal,
the real deal,
the real deal,
absolutely. The real deal should say. So that's two Rockies from the same high schools. What other high schools have two Rockies attended? Thanks for asking, Kevin.
I was just going there, but please.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. That's spreadsheet material for me. Haven't gotten around to that yet.
You know, I have a feeling by opening day, you'll have an answer to that question.
I kind of need to know.
Yeah.
I did ask it, so yeah. I need to find out. I would think there's at least one other high school, right? I mean,
I would think so.
There's a lot of good just baseball programs that are out there that like just have the churn of big league guys coming out.
Yeah, you would think I've heard the Toms River area is pretty good. I've heard that.
Jerry DePoto, but not Jeff Frazier or Charlie Frazier or Todd Frazier, the one that we're all thinking
George
of.
Frazier?
No, close.
Okay.
No cigar. Just Uncle funny. George. I don't know if Uncle George is actually related. Suter is also, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Talk to me.
First Rocky to ever author a book.
Yeah.
He wrote a book, and you got to see the cover of the book. So, you know, when you're at your local Barnes and Noble, you can go ahead and pick up a copy of The Binky Bandit.
Love there you go. Binky
it's Bandit. A kid's book, but hey, you know what? As far as I know, he is the only Rocky, yep, and certainly the only active Rocky to have ever written a book.
Yeah. And he talked to me about this. I mean, that's the dog, and literally stole the Binky from the child and wrote a book about it. And, you know, and one of the things that he was telling me about that is that it was something that all the clubhouse was so like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Within the Brewers organization. And he said that that's one of the things that he is going to miss about being in Milwaukee. It was a very tight knit group, but the Binky Bandit. Absolutely.
That's it. I mean, that could be his nickname now. I don't know what what's a Binky in baseball that we could say he is, or we could just call him the Binky, the Bandit, maybe the Bandit.
Well, you know, speaking of nicknames, he said he loves the Raptor.
Yeah.
But the Vulture stuck with him starting last year after council made this weird motion. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
that.
He was like, he didn't go to the left arm to say, give me the lefty. He's like, give me the Vulture.
Exactly. And he's like, I'm leaving the Vulture in Milwaukee. Not a fan of the Vulture. Okay. I'm going to stick with the Raptor, but the Vulture stays behind.
I like that. Yeah, that's fantastic. And he played at Colorado Springs too, when he was in the minors with the Brewers. So he knows Colorado a little bit. Yeah, I we've got to find out. If you happen to know, tell us in the comments there. Any other Rockies who've ever written a book? I mean, obviously Drew Goodman have If These Walls Could Talk.
Yes.
Stories About the Rockies. That was one. That's like literally the only book I can even like think of. There's been books written about Rockies, yes, right? Manny Randau has got his Blake Street Bombers book, but written or co-authored by a Rocky. I mean, I'm ready to start a spreadsheet, but there's only one name on it. So that's not, you need at least two to qualify for a spreadsheet.
I think a Chuck could write a fishing book. I mean, he's got to write some kind of Tales from the Outdoors with Chuck or something, right?
I think Ted Williams may have written a fishing book. So if he's done that, I think Charlie could do that.
Absolutely.
That would work. I could see him being a very good fishing guide too after his career. I mean, besides the celebrity of Charlie Lachman, he's gonna take you to some good.
He'll be on the Outdoor Channel.
Watering holes.
Yeah.
Is that what they would call it?
You know.
I mean, he's not more of a watering hole guy. He's more of a narrow, straight, a river runs through it situation. So it's not a hole so much as it is.
It's a line.
It's this hand gesture. This is why you need to be watching over on the DNVR Sports Channel on YouTube. And you need to be supporting a great Colorado company in Pins and Aces. They're the official golf partner of DNVR. Love the Pins and Aces gear. They've got all the different colorways for all the teams here in town too. So you'll be wearing something and people will think it's Avs related. It's Avs inspired because it looks fantastic. It's family owned golf and apparel company here in Colorado. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, beer sleeves. Now I know you're a golfer. Are you an avid golfer or just a golfer?
I'm a golfer.
Borderline avid though.
Well, my wife is much more avid than I am, shall we say. But and she's better at that than I am too. Ooh. I will readily admit that.
On your 74th visit, you get a beer sleeve. So you know what?
No.
You are halfway there, I think. So when we get that beer sleeve, you throw that in her stocking. I think she'll be very happy.
You know what? I'm not tucking that away.
That's it. You're going to be counting the days on the wall, marking the calendar. And you can also use it for seltzers too. If she likes the hard seltzies, that's fantastic. Go over to pinsandaces.com and use code DNVR to receive 15% off your first order and free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. Backus and Shanker, when you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. They win for Colorado families, and they help those who've been seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. Best part is they're free until they win you money. So no upfront fee to speak with them about your case. No fee while they work on your case. No fees unless they win your case and win money for you. They've got 30 lawyers on staff, over 100 people helping out that staff. So it's a fantastic group that works together all throughout Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, Fort Collins. Backus and Shanker has the strength and power to win your case. They help with all kinds of injury cases that weren't your fault, car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help when you've been injured at work. Call them at 222-2222. That's right. So just think Troy Tulowitzki and Jonathan Daza.
You know,
in any order, if you want to go Daza, 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 Tulo, 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 you can. If you want to go Daza, Tulo, Daza, Tulo, 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 you can. It's 222-2222.
Tulo, Tulo,
what's that number?
You know, I go Tulo, 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 Daza, Daza, Daza.
Okay, I see.
I flip.
First three are Tulo twos.
Yeah.
Last four are Daza twos.
I would do that first. That's me.
That's you. And that's your right.
You know?
That's your right.
Thank goodness.
Look, they've won over $1 billion for their clients. So that would be a good thing, a personalized Dick Monfort jersey when he's worth $1 billion. A billion across the back with a one and a dollar sign? He's halfway there, I think.
You know? Why didn't Ted DiBiase come up with that or something? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's the $1 million belt. That's it? The belts cost $1 million now.
Yeah.
I think even the jewels and the gems from the hardcore belt are worth $1 million at this point.
Yeah, it's like if the Dr. Evil them. One, you know, just $1 million. Come on.
Absolutely. $1 million. $1 billion is Bacchus and Changa. That's what they do. Brendan Rodgers. So he was another name on the lips of Dick Monfort saying it's kind of a pivotal year for him. Do you get the same feeling? I feel like that's so true for everyone on the Rockies because no one really had like a career year other than CJ Krohn.
Right.
Right. I mean, Rodgers still did have a career type year, but he needs to show that he can do it again at this point.
He does. And I think that how he started the year, we all kind of forgot about that a little bit, except in talking points by what he did during the heart of the season. But then the end of the year, you know, that there was a struggle there at the end.
September was rough.
September was rough at the plate. It was rough in terms of injury. You know, so how does B-Rod come back from that this year? And can he avoid the slow start? So, yeah, I think that it's really important whenever you look at, again, is he a part of the future? And it's really weird to say about a Gold Glove winner. But it's worth saying, is there somebody coming up that you would feel comfortable enough to say, we can move B-Rod and not lose a step?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that would probably be a Mac moving over, a Montero finally getting a spot in there, you know.
Warming Bernabéu.
Or Bernabéu. We'll see what he does. Absolutely. That's the truth. Yeah, so there's options. So I think, but, you know, you said it earlier, his value may never be higher than it is right now. Now, if he has a good first half of the year, trade deadline comes, Rocks are out of it, would they consider it? It would go against everything they've done recently, but it's a thought.
And everything they've done recently has not gone very well for them.
It hasn't.
So you have to sort of, you got to be like George Costanza. I got to do everything the opposite.
Nice.
The antithesis of everything and just say, you know what? This is an opportunity to jump on. Someone's willing to maybe pay more than this guy's worth to us. He's worth a lot to us.
Yeah.
But again, we're trying to win something. We're trying to build something, and we've got a lot of depth. You know, Bernabéu, you know, he's a more slender guy. I'd be interested to know if he might even play a little second base this year. I could see something like that in his future. Again, McMahon can do that, and then you've got Montero and Bernabéu at third base. But maybe, again, you've got McMahon going to second and third, and Bernabeu's that guy. He's still at least a year off, but still, these are the pieces that you can look and say, all right, well, we've got depth here. We've got a strength. Let's take that, make a trade, and try to improve one of our weaknesses.
Yeah, you know, the talk early in the season about B-Rod in Miami, and
right.
could it be a pitching in return and what that might have looked like? You know, pitching is always in demand. If you could find a guy that could actually pull it off here at Coors, yeah, not a bad trade.
Cabrera looked pretty good last year in his 2022 debut at Coors Field. Hermann Marquez is another player, I think, who's kind of in line for somewhat of a pivotal year. This is his last official year before free agency. He does have one more year of a club option that's still incredibly team-friendly. So we can go ahead and just say he has two more years until he reaches free agency. So now's the time that, you know, again, the Rockies did that last year with their players who were 2 years away from free agency and extended Senzatella, Freeland, and McMahon. This is kind of a time, I think, for the Rockies to decide, do they want to pony up for a guy that's been their horse along with Freeland?
Right.
But it's been more so Marquez. It's just that I think the expectations have been so high, even though Freeland has had the better career year in 2018, finishing fourth in Cy Young. But Marquez is also kind of in the midst of a pivotal season for the Rockies to decide what they should do with him.
You know, and whenever we talked earlier about the buzz inside Coors, I left out the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was something. And obviously when Hermann took the mound during the All-Star game, man, that was incredible in there. And I think that was almost the high point, and what has it been since then?
Sure.
But I think that the Rockies are so thin still. You know, we talked about Seabold coming on, but they're still so thin at starting pitching. Would you really trade a guy like Marquez, even if he's not living up to expectations? is there somebody that you really would feel comfortable slotting in there right now who's coming up through the ranks and would actually be ready? I think that's the other key point as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, their starters are still so incredibly young and so far away, and some of the older ones have just had injury issues, and so you've got those kind of questions about that. I sort of think the third guy that's most pivotal this year, that not for his career, he's already established himself, he's already got the bag, but Chris Bryant. I mean, fans, I think, have been pretty kind to him in the last year. Again, on Twitter, you can find people saying just about anything.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But, you know, you're disappointed in only the 42 games played. But at what point, if the injuries continue or if the lack of success at the plate, I think he's going to win, if he's healthy this year or even next, he'll win a batting title. I think he'll go the same route as a guy like Michael Kadir, who I think his career high was .284, and then comes to Coors Field, hits .331, wins a batting title in 2013. I think Chris Bryant kind of fits into that category, and just see him peppering the ball around Coors Field when he was healthy in April. But if he does not deliver, I mean, there's going to be those like Ian Desmond type whispers what are we paying this guy for? So I think that's a pivotal year for the fans more than anything.
Yeah, and I think if you look back whenever Daniel Bard won the Comeback Player of the Year, I think Chris Bryant's a huge candidate for that this year. Great now, again, point. He's got to stay healthy. He actually has to produce at the plate. But there's been everything you look at in the past that shows he can do that. And so I think that while this is a pivotal year for him, I think if he actually stays healthy, becomes that battleship, you know, that we've heard him being referred
sure.
to, and actually can help carry a Rockies offense where they sorely missed him last year, then I think fans will pretty quickly go, okay, it was a bad year. It was an injury-filled year. Check, move on.
Sure. Are there any, have you started thinking about the camp battles that are going to happen in spring training, like fourth and fifth starter spot? Again, if it's Feltner and Gomber, you're like, all right, if they end up winning the job, that was kind of what you expected. I think kind of the final spot on the bench is going to be interesting. In addition to the utility player, because now you got Harold Castro in the mix, was one of those minor league signings that I saw on the Rockies transaction page. And it was like someone from Detroit had like tweeted it out like, hey, this thing happened. And then it was like a week later that the Rockies like officially announced it, I think.
Yep.
But Harold Castro and Alan Trejo make for an interesting battle. Trejo, we think, is going to, you know, pick up an outfielder's mitt. So he'll be the Garrett Hampson type. Do you go with a more veteran type like Harold Castro, has been around for about five seasons, or a younger guy with maybe a higher upside in Alan Trejo?
Yeah, I honestly, just gut feeling, if Castro has a good spring, I don't see any reason he doesn't break camp with him.
Really?
I do. You know, and I think there's nothing against Trejo or anything else, but I think that Bud Black loves his veterans. And I think if there's a chance to bring in Castro as your utility guy, you plug him in certain places, and you also trust him at the plate as much as you do in the field. You know, Trejo had his flashes, absolutely did. You know, and he's a guy that Bud knows from San Diego. You know, they've got a background together, all that stuff. But there's still something about the veteran coming in and actually making an impact. So I think Castro is going to be one of those sneaky signings that we'll look at on the opening day roster and go, oh, yeah, that guy.
Could Castro, and he had the pivotal, talk about pivotal players, pivotal walk-off home run in the Venezuelan League final on Monday night.
That was a celebration right there.
That was a celebration, to say the least. That was great. So good for him for that. Obviously, that's fantastic. But the thing, the little switcheroo here, what about this idea that Castro is the Garrett Hampson, Castro's the utility player, and Alan Trejo is the shortstop on opening day? Now, you don't want that to happen. You gave me the side eye.
Yeah, I did. I was like, what?
But how much does Tovar have to earn this spot is basically what I'm kind of getting at. That if he's any bit left of center, maybe they just send him down for a couple weeks. And you say, well, we do have two shortstops now on the roster with Castro and Trejo. You don't want that to happen. I don't think that would happen. But maybe that's the kind of insurance that the Rockies are getting now that in the past they haven't really had.
Yeah. I think that is a worst case scenario, but it's a possibility, actually. You know, as we always say, is it improbable? Yes. Is it impossible? No. You know, I do think that Tovar breaks. I think he's your opening day shortstop. But if he absolutely struggles, you know, in spring, you know, but how many guys struggle in spring and you go, oh, well, it's spring training. You shrug it off. Will they be willing to do that with a guy like Tovar and go, you know, his defense, his upside, everything else is so much. Plus, those fans, let's be honest, they need a little reason for optimism. And as much as we may love Trejo or Castro, that's not going to get the blood boiling as much as having Tovar in there.
No, you make a compelling argument there that even in the worst case scenario, there's almost no reason to not put him on that roster. I mean, you stuck it out with Brendan Rodgers last year throughout April. And so that's again, slightly different situation, but still, you don't want to kind of, you know, ruin his confidence. Logan saying that Trejo is one of his faves. Loves to see him there, which is fantastic. Design Love saying Chris Bryant has not been the same player since 2017. I hope he rebounds because he's such a quality person, but I'm not optimistic. So,
and there's a lot of Rocky fans that aren't. There's a lot of Rocky fans that are already writing this up as a bust. I mean, let's be honest, they are.
Are they podiatrists? Because if they are, then maybe they know something we don't about plantar fasciitis, because that would make a little bit of sense, right?
Yep.
We're also getting in a comment, I'd pay a big amount of change for a World Series ticket at Coors Field, like his entire savings account.
Oh, so, I think if the World Series gets back to Coors, oh my gosh, yeah. As much as it cost you to get into Ball Arena for the Avs, you know, at least there was some history with, you know, and everything there. Yeah, getting the World Series back at Coors after the disappointment during the Red Sox in 07, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, again, that's going to push some fans out as far as being able to afford, you know, to get in. We know that kind of happens. But again, you don't run your business because you're worried about people who basically can't afford your product, if that makes sense.
And
It's a strange philosophy twist of narrative.
It is, I don't get. Especially, you know, Tampa Bay has been in the news this week because they're talking about how they're going to refurbish the Tropicana Field area and all this stuff.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see. But, you know, is it something that the Rays fans don't go to Tropicana Field? They have a winning product, but the Rays fans don't go. So I think that that's something really interesting. A's fans don't go to the Coliseum because, well, you know, the shape of the Coliseum and the shape of the team right now.
And the smell of the Coliseum and the smell of the team.
Yeah, the possums. I mean, let's be honest. If you're a possum, you're loving the A's right now. No doubt about it. But I think it's something that this is a destination city like we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a city that has been, you know, and locals will say this, been inundated by us transplants, you know. So when the Giants come, when the Dodgers come, heck, whenever the Reds or Mets come, it's amazing to see the amount of fans wearing the opposing colors in the stands. And it doesn't matter whether it's $4 or $20, they're still going to be there supporting their team.
Yeah. Final two spots on the bench. Do you have a favorite? It basically comes down to Montero, Nolan Jones, Michael Tolia, or Sean Bouchard, and Sean Bouchard is the only one that can't play somewhere in the infield.
That's quite a mix right there, honestly. Quite a mix of people who can come in. I think Nolan Jones is going to get every benefit of the doubt this year. I think that, again,
I think so too. Yeah. Him and Tolia are the only two lefties in that bunch.
And I think that's simpatico. That's exactly where I was going with that, because I think you've got to have some more options off the bench than you've had in past years. And I think that Jones could give you that option. I think Tolia will give you that option. It, you know, as much as we love Sean Bouchard and as much chance as he got last year, it may be tough for him to break camp with him this year.
A lot of top 100 prospect lists are coming out now. Any names or any results surprising you? It's typically about four. We did see Keith Law's list for The Athletic.
Yep.
Have five names, a couple new ones there in Benny Montgomery and Warming Bernabeu. Kylie McDaniel only had three, but Romo was kind of an honorable mention. Anything necessarily, you know, jump out at you with these lists? Are you surprised that there's not 10 to 15 on them, like some would suggest?
Yeah, no, to be honest, I'm not surprised when it's a top 100 list. You know, I was looking at Kylie McDaniel's, which just came out this morning on ESPN Plus.
Oh, nice.
You know, Tovar is the highest ranked there at 35. Let's see. Let me find. I think Veen was 49. And then Amador at 73. Those were the only three Rockies that broke in at the top 100 on that. You know, and there's a lot of good buzz right now around Tovar, around Veen. You know, and again, as great as Amador is as well, I think there's a lot more buzz right now about Brenton Doyle what he could mean to this team. Is he going to be that center fielder of the future? You know, and so I think that that's really something to watch in prospect news as well, is that it may be a guy that's not on these top 100 lists that could actually get to Coors before any of them.
Yeah, I think Amador has been the pleasant surprise, where he did have a huge year last year, but because it was in low A, I was worried if he wouldn't, you know, really get that recognition, but he definitely has. He's in the back of the 100. But again, similar to a guy like Tover, who really wasn't even on the top 100 list this time last year. Yeah. Another really good season at High A Spokane. He'll probably get promoted to Hartford maybe by the summer. And now all of a sudden, Adiel Amador could be a top 50 guy, maybe even top 25 if he does exactly what he did last year. So,
and is it weird to say that depending on what Tovar does and how quickly he adapts, that that could be a blueprint for the rest of these rookies or prospects who we're looking at possibly? You know, if Tovar succeeds and the Rockies show faith in him, give him the B-Rod treatment early on if he struggles or whatever it might be, does that show then that they're willing to bring up those prospects and give them the same leash as well?
Right. Again, just letting you know, this is the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you use promo code DNVR, you make a $5 bet on the Super Bowl 57, and if that bad boy hits, you're going to get $200 in free bets instantly from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Let's loop back around to a conversation we had at some point. I don't know if it was on the car ride down. Maybe it was before we were on air. But this is the one-year anniversary of Nolan Arenado trade becoming official back in 2021.
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years. Did I say 1 year?
Yeah.
I'm perhaps I'm a little flustered. I'm not sure why, but
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, no, it feels like 5 years ago. So I feel better that I erred on the shorter side. Yeah. 2021.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It was wild. You know, the rumors came out on January 29th, and then the weekend goes by, and it becomes finalized, and you get a package of players that you have to squint and hope and say, hey, if things turn out right, this could be a really good crop. And so far, that package of players for Arenado, unfortunately, hasn't had that that kind of punch. Mateo Hill, already out of the organization, was taken in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft. I know you just wrote about that on Fanside and MLB about the grades.
Yeah, it was hard to write because, you know, to be perfectly frank, I don't think the grades have changed since that very first day that we knew it was official and what the return was going to be.
Right.
You know, in my article, I gave the Cardinals an A. I think Nolan has been everything that they wanted him to be. And I wrote in there that, you know, one thing I actually talked to him about during the wild card series last year whenever I was up there covering it was, this year, he's going to be more of a leader maybe than ever before because he's got to step in for Yadi. He's got to step in for Pujols. Both those guys are gone.
Right.
Wainwright's still there, but I really think that it's going to be Wainwright, Goldie, and Arenado that are going to be your clubhouse leaders this year in St. Louis. So that pressure to get past the wild card round and actually deep into the postseason in St. Louis, it's going to be bigger than ever, and it is.
Goldschmidt's, I think he was 35 this past year. So, yep. I mean, he's getting up there in age. He just won the MVP. So, I mean, let's. Yeah,
he's doing all right.
Yeah. I was trying to say, like, the end is near. But but still, yeah, that's it's just wild. You know, we get, of course, comments on Twitter at DNVR_Rockies. And, you know, sometimes, obviously, people are upset. A lot of the time, they're talking about how awful of a trade it was, how it ripped their heart out. And there are other folks that are like, I'm actually really happy for Nolan. Like, they look at it from that perspective. That's the only positive that can come out of it. You're not happy trading away a first ballot Hall of Famer and getting back, you know, again, some hopes and some filler on the roster. Again, good players, but still, people are, the only thing they're happy about is like, oh, well, now maybe Nolan can kind of get what he wants because they want that for him because Nolan provided so much for what fans have wanted over the years.
Absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of people, him coming up through the organization, him all of a sudden becoming the Gold Glover, you know, around the country, Nolan was the face of the franchise for years. Whenever you thought of the Rockies, you thought of Nolan. Now, Chuck was in there as well, obviously. But, you know, who do you think of now nationwide? Is it Chris Bryant? Is it Charlie still? You know, Nolan was that identity for a while. And so I think that that made the trade even harder. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I gave the Cardinals an A. I also wrote in there, I gave the Rocks an F still to this day for the trade. And it's nothing against Gomber. It's nothing against Montero. But neither one of those guys to this moment have been the players that were going to be that, oh my gosh, this is going to work out.
Right.
You know, now, I think this is a pivotal year for Gomber, too. I absolutely think it is. You know,
that's true.
Not just because of the pressure from the trade, and he's talked about that numerous times, but he struggled mightily last year. You know, that whole bullpen to starter and back and forth.
Not happy.
No. Can he find his rhythm? Can he get back in the rotation this year? And if they can't find a place for Montero to get consistent at bats, I think that that's really going to be a problem as far as how this trade's going to be viewed for years to come.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I think late in the season, I don't know who's the first one who said it, but we felt like everyone in the press box were kind of thinking at the same time of like, do you trade Brendan Rodgers this offseason and move McMahon over to back to second base? Montero's at third base. Or you can trade Montero. But again, what's the return going to be on Rodgers? Is obviously going to be a lot more. It's a lot proven. Montero, you're hoping, you're wishing on a player to come to fruition the same way that the Rockies were wishing and hoping on a player when they got him for Nolan Arenado. So it maybe makes more sense to trade Rodgers, but Montero could be one of those guys where if another team, you know, likes what they see, you can get a little bit creative and maybe add a little bit of pitching for a Montero.
You could. And I wonder then what that would do to Rockies fans, because if he was supposedly, this is going to be the prospect that's going to make the difference. Gomber's already in the majors, but Montero coming up, he's going to be the guy. And all of a sudden you go, and you're going to trade him for somebody else. What kind of reaction is that going to be from Rockies Nation?
Sure. I think Rockies fans, they're ready to win again. It's been some time. I think they're ready to pay good money to see their team win. I know that was some of the comments that Dick Monfort made, that some folks have suggested that, hey, it's very noble to have affordable price tickets. But is that the point? You know, does Dick Monfort care more about the fan experience than winning?
Well,
I think you can care about them equally, but
go back to what happened this past offseason. I don't know if you heard, but Carlos Correa was signed with a few teams before he finally ended up with the Twins.
I heard something rumbling.
Did you hear about that? Okay.
I did.
One of those teams was those New York Mets. And the day that they announced that Correa was signed, and of course he didn't end up there, $1 million single day in single game tickets. $1 million in one day. So excitement can bring fans, can bring revenue, and I'm guessing those probably weren't $4 tickets that the Mets fans were buying. They were willing to say, you know what, I want to see this guy play in person. I want to see what he can do for him this year.
Yeah, yeah, people are willing to pay those prices, no doubt. And again, the Rock Pile is still going to be there. The Rock Pile is still going to be the Rock Pile. So, like, that's kind of a non-entity. Also, today we've got sad news in the world of the Montreal Expos. The final Montreal Expos player has retired. Asterisk. You've got to, when we're dealing with Tom Brady and his retirements, we have to mention that there's an asterisk with that. But yes, drafted by the Montreal Expos, didn't sign with him, but nevertheless, he's the final Expo hanging on. Desmond was the last player in MLB to hang on from the Expos, but now Tom Brady.
See, Ian Desmond, Tom Brady share a little something there.
That's
things
it.
You might not have thought about.
Right. Yeah, Tom Brady is top of the mountain.
Absolutely.
I think the story was he went out to, I don't know if it was spring training, somewhere where the Expos were at. Maybe they flew him in. It could have even been Montreal. Nevertheless, FP Santangelo, who I think he broadcasts with the Giants now. But he was a player and he was, you know, he basically talked him out of having a baseball career. He's like, you don't want to be riding buses and you got to go through the minors for like 3, 4, 5 years. And it's like, you can go and you're going to get drafted. I mean, you're a pretty good QB there at University of Michigan. So there's a much bigger and better payday ahead of you. So he talked Tom Brady out of a baseball career.
Well, he took the Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson route, it sounds like to me. And
it
worked out okay.
I think Brady needs to send FP Santangelo, one of my all-time favorite baseball names from the 90s.
That's a great name.
Oh, he owes him a Rolex, I think.
Fantastic name.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense if you're over on Twitter. So we can hear more of your comments and your thoughts on the one-year anniversary. I said it again, the two-year anniversary of the Nolan Arenado trade. The one-year anniversary of the first anniversary.
You know, that's what I've been trying to say. That's exactly right.
Yes, I like to celebrate anniversaries than the actual event happening.
See, we're playing checkers, you're playing chess. I mean, it's that simple.
I am.
I know.
In the metaverse, too, on top of that. So it's not even real. At DNVR _ Rockies is where we're at. Where can folks find your stuff at online, reading their articles, Rockies blog, Twitter, all that stuff?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, first of all, absolutely. Head to therockies.com, look for the blog that's on there. Absolutely happy to do that with Jack Etkin. Call to the Pen is our site on FanSided, where I'm the editor and we do a lot of stuff. And I'm the national columnist for the MLB site on fansided.com. So really excited about that.
Big things ahead.
Big things ahead, man.
You're not, and that's how I know you're moving up. You're not covering the Rockies on opening day.
Yeah, I will be in St. Louis. Speaking of Arenado, yep, I will be in St. Louis for opening day. The Jays come to town. What's going to be a very fascinating series, I think.
Because when you think of opening day in St. Louis, you think Toronto Blue Jays. Man, that's so weird.
I know, it really is.
The seriously. Twins finish up in Colorado. That's where they end their season. Yeah. Playing for like the first time since like June of 2014. So the schedule makers are the schedule gremlins.
I am excited to see the schedule and how it plays out this year. Honestly, the changes and everything else, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Balance schedule too a little bit.
Yep.
Careful what you wish for. Less Dodgers and Giants, more Angels, Yankees, Ohtani, Judge.
Will they draw the fans? I mean, Dodger fans now have less chances to see their team here in Denver.
Yes.
Will the Angels fans turn out?
See? You know, I have had that thought of like, hey, the NL West teams actually travel really well other than the Diamondbacks, naturally. But you're going to maybe lose some revenue there. But again, at least this year, you gain it back with the Yankees. You know, in future years, I don't know if there's other American League teams that will travel as well. Boston will be next year. Yeah. So you'll get that benefit.
Sox probably will, yeah.
A little bit of a bump. And I don't know about the folks in Baltimore, but they're going to be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with their latest acquisition. Justin Wick. Shout out to him.
Oh, Jay Wick.
Jay Wick.
That's pretty fantastic, legend. Actually, seriously.
Super happy for him. Got to make sure he gets a shout out.
Good job, Jay Wick.
Give me a shout out, too, on Twitter. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at. Kevin, this has been so much fun.
Always.
So momentous, but unfortunately, and you're a baseball guy, so you know this. You know what they say about momentum?
I've heard.
It's only as good as your next show. So we will talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the DNVR Sports Channel on YouTube.